Too. Good to see each of you tonight. Glad you could make it out. Glad to see some new faces. Again, thank you for the wonderful meal and the opportunity to stay with the Reynolds at the hotel out there, and we appreciate the accommodations. Proverbs chapter 22. I'd like to read verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Anyone who has driven a car realizes that you cannot hold the steering wheel in one place and get very far. The reason for this is the roads themselves are imperfect, therefore not straight. Plus, the linkages and bearings, they wear out and the car tends to drift. A tire wear will also pull the car to the right or to the left. So then it is necessary to adapt to the wheel to all the course and all of its changes and all of its features. And in doing so, as you change the steering wheel, you can keep the car on the road and keep it in its proper lane, the Lord willing anyway. And a careful and safe driver will be making innumerable corrections when driving. It's constant, isn't it? The same is true, I am told, when piloting an airplane. Back in the spring, we had the opportunity to get Chad, our youngest son, a flying lesson, just one, on one of those small Cessna-type airplanes. And our friend slash instructor, the one who took him up, taught Chad that he taught him just enough to get him off the ground and into the air. And then it was Chad's responsibility to keep the nose up, but not too far, and to maintain the correct pitch and the correct roll. I recall the instructor telling Chad, flying is making a series of small adjustments. Don't make big corrections, make small ones. And so Chad had to learn to barely tilt the wheel and to slightly pull back. Before he learned that, I thought I was going to die on more than one occasion. And he was not to pull back too fast or not too slow. But you know what? Little was good. I mean, it was just right. And he had to learn how to do that. Therefore, as in driving a car, the pilot must make minor adjustments on a regular basis. Well, with these two examples in your mind, I would like to take a look into our text and discuss the importance of course correction. It is my objective to remind each of us that as we travel through this life, we must make corrections and we must adjust to the road. I further submit to you that small adjustments are better than large ones. For if we wait too late to change the course or to correct the error, the results might be tragic. So I want to speak to you tonight out of this text, a message which I've entitled Course Adjustment. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Let's go to the Lord. God, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who have chosen to come out tonight. And thank you for safety and travel. And now we ask that you would bless as the word goes forth. May your will be done. That you would meet every need of every heart. Help us to realize we need to be making these adjustments all of our life. And Lord, we need your grace to do that. And I pray that everything that's said and done would be to your honor and to your glory. We pray for the lost here tonight. Lord, they need to make the biggest adjustment of all, and I pray that you would just convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, and grant to them repentance and faith that they'd be saved tonight. And Father, we ask that you not only save the lost, but strengthen your people. Lord, you've heard our prayer request for the many that are sick and the procedures that are going on, the one that just had the bone marrow transplant, Dave, and Lord, for this family and their loss of a loved one, the funeral tomorrow. Lord, just guide and direct there as only you can. And we pray your will be done there. So again, we come before you tonight just desiring to honor you. And I pray for liberty and grace and mercy that the word would go forth unhindered and unimpeded. And we pray that you would be glorified through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Course adjustment. Life is a path, a course we must follow. And it will have its highs and it will have its lows. Life will bear to the right, then it will bear to the left. It will have its turns, and it will even have a few dead ends. It's going to happen. As driving down the road of life has rules and guidelines. And the Bible tells us how to best traverse this road. If we ignore the rules or elect to drive our own way, well, we don't care, we're just going to do it the way I want to. Well, you know what, we're going to find ourselves off the beaten path. And we might drive into a ditch or off into a mountain pass. But one thing is certain, mark it down. Life is not perfect, nor the people in it. Therefore, we must make adjustments all along the way. First thing I would like to do is discuss our text, and I'm going to make an application of the text, and then we'll look at some biblical considerations, and then we'll give you some concluding thoughts. Let's look at our verse, chapter 22, book of Proverbs, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. What do we find in this text? Well, first of all, we find that there are two types of people that are evident. The Scriptures tells us there are those who are prudent, and then there are those who are simple. The word prudent in the Hebrew language means cunning. Someone who is crafty, someone who is, and we understand the word prudent, somebody who is subtle. We think of it as being wise, and generally we can make that application. And so he talks about a prudent man. But then he talks about a simple man. Now in the Hebrew that word means silly. And it's silly in the extent of, oh, he's just crazy. It's not that at all. It's one who is seducible. One who may be foolish. One who is very simple. He can be tricked easily. And so you have two kinds of people that are evident in this passage. The prudent and the simple. And of course, and we know this to be true, whenever we speak of characteristics, there are always those all along the spectrum. So you might have one who's exceedingly prudent, and you might have one who's exceedingly simple. And all between there is people, well, maybe this one's a little bit more simple than this other person, but this person's not as prudent as this guy. And so, well, people fall all along the spectrum. Somewhere tonight you fall in that gap. And we're all either prudent or simple or somewhere in between. Two people mentioned in the text. Now also we find in this passage that two kinds of events are referred to. Now we read in the text where it says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and it talks about evil. You say, well, I don't see anything about the righteous, but it's implied, isn't it? I mean, certainly if you have evil, you have the opposite of that, and so you have that which is not evil, you have that which is righteous. And so you have two kinds of individuals talking about two kinds of activity, two kinds of events that may be referred to, and that's evil and righteousness. And then we have two different responses which are listed. And that's evident from the passage because he says a prudent man, he's going to hide himself. So he can either avoid it or he can pass on, and that means to enter into the activity. And so with these two guys with two different kinds of responses, there are going to be two kinds of consequences attached to those responses, and it's a matter of whether you're going to avoid it or you're going to be active into it. How are you going to respond to it? What are you going to do with it? And so the responses are avoidance or activity. And whatever you choose to do, there are the consequences. Two types of consequences. And of course, it's going to be a matter of judgment, as it talks in the text, about, well, this foolish man, if he goes on, he's going to be punished. Judgment will come upon him. Well, the result of that, or the opposite of that, is if you are wise enough to avoid it, then you follow after righteousness, you will be blessed. And so, understand that these things are true. So the lesson that we find from verse 3 is this. Is simply, to avoid punishment, there must be foresight. Look at the verse again. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so if you want to avoid punishment, you have to have some foresight. You have to be able to look down the road. You have to be able to see ahead. The word foresee here means that. It means to gaze. It is to perceive. It is to look upon or to view. You want to be able to see it. And when I think about foresight like this, three things come to mind. One, there must be recognition. Two, there must be discernment. And three, there must be an evaluation. Now, if you've ever driven down the road and saw something in the middle of the road, you've done that every time, haven't you? I mean, if you're going to be a careful and safe driver. You're going down the road and you see something. Well, that's recognition. You don't know what it is. You just see something in the middle of the road. And so as you get closer, I don't know about you, but when I see something out there, I focus on it because I don't know what that thing is. And I certainly don't want to run over something that's going to ruin my car, cause me to wreck, or whatever the instance might be. So I see it, I recognize it, and then I have to make a discernment. And as I get closer, I might be able to determine what it is, and hopefully you'll be able to determine what it is before you get too far and you want to get out of the way. Years ago, we were traveling across the West Kentucky Parkway, and we were going down the road, and all of a sudden I saw up in front something, but I couldn't tell what it was. It was dark, it was night, ran over a 2x4 with a nail in it. And the next morning we got up, and I had 2 flat tires on that side where I ran over that bar. Well, I wish I'd have saw it in time, but I didn't see it. I had some recognition. I had very little discernment and absolutely no response. So I just ran right over that 2x4 and ended up with 2 flat tires. But if we're going to foresee something, we have to recognize, we have to discern, and then what we must do is evaluate. So if I'm driving down the road and I see something and I wait till I get close enough to where I can actually see what that thing really is, I have to make a discernment. Okay, I see what it is, now what am I going to do? What's my choice? Can I just run over it? Can I try to get it between the wheels? Or do I have to get around it? Coming up on I-55, there were twice it happened where a truck had lost a big part of their tire, you know, out there laying in the middle of the lane. Well, I certainly knew that I wasn't going to run over that thing. So I had to recognize it, discern it, and then evaluate and make a judgment call and get out of the way safely. When the Bible talks about here, if you want to keep from having judgment and punishment in your life, you have to foresee evil. Those are things that you have to do. We'll make an application of that later. But you're going to have to recognize, you're going to have to discern, and you're going to have to make evaluations. And so we learn very much from Proverbs how we can conduct our life. So to receive a blessing, it requires an appropriate response. The text says, a guy's going down in his life and he foresees evil, and a wise man is going to hide himself. He's not going to keep on going. But the simple, what do? Who cares? Pass on and are judged. Will be punished, the Scripture says. So I submit to you, to receive a blessing, it's going to require an appropriate response. Or shall I say, to receive a blessing, it requires proper course adjustments. Remember, that's the title of the message. Course adjustment. Now that's the discussion of the text, but we're not finished. We want to make an application of our text. So number one, I would submit unto you in applying this verse to our life. I think it's necessary for us to learn and to understand that life, living, and everything within it is imperfect. Except God, of course. But everything else, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, other people around the world you've never met, all the things, everything within life is imperfect except for God. And I think it's necessary for you to understand that and keep that in mind. And if you look at somebody and say, well, that person's perfect, they aren't, you just think they are. It might appear to be so, but I guarantee you, every one of us have our flaws. Every one of us are imperfect. You see, a line may look straight, but with closer scrutiny, it'll show the details of that line. For example, you take a dot matrix print. It looks like letter quality. But the truth of it is, it actually consists of a whole bunch of little tiny dots. That's dot matrix. And it doesn't look like that on the page, but if you get it under a microscope, look in there and get a little bit closer, you see all these little dots all over the place. It looks like it's letter quality, but it isn't. You ever gone to Google Maps to try to get some directions? I do that all the time now. And a Google Map will show a route, and it may look straight. But when you start zooming in on that dude, what happens? All of a sudden, you see the curves and the turns and all that. Well, at this level, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty straight. Oh, that's right, from A to B. That's no problem. You start zooming in, what happens? All of a sudden, it's here and there and back and forth, and crosses back on itself. I mean, all kinds of things can happen on Google. You just try it. Go home tonight, get on Google, look at a map and see how straight it is, and start zooming. And you'll see it's not straight. It just looks to be straight. I worked in the machine shop for many, many years, and part of my job as a quality control inspector is I have to look for burrs. And, burrs are no one's friends, but burrs happen, and I once was told by my manager, he says, if you look close enough, you will find a burr on anything. And that really is true. This piece of metal right here, It won't cut me, I won't feel it, but I guarantee you get under a microscope and look at it close enough, you're going to find burrs. You won't be able to detect it, doesn't matter, but they're there. So if you look close enough at anything, you're going to find fault. How true, how true. So if you look at someone's life who seems to have it all together, and it really looks perfect to you, if you look close enough, you will see the dots, and you'll see the zigs and the zags. What happened is that person has made small adjustments all along the way so as to stay as close to center as possible. And as a result, they appear to have done everything perfect. But they know that it is a consummation of all the course corrections. And so when you look at a person or a church and you think, wow, there's no problems going on there, you're just not looking close enough. And by the way, I'll just throw this in for free. No preacher is perfect. Amen. And no deacon is perfect. And no church is perfect. And if you're looking for the perfect church and the perfect deacon and the perfect pastor and all that kind of thing, you know what? You're not going to find it. But if you would, don't join it because you're just going to ruin it. Right? So don't do it. Everybody's imperfect. What we find is that everything in life is imperfect. Number two, there are then, and this is just simple deduction, there are then the evil and the good in life. There's a lot of great good things in life, but there's also evil things in life. Now the question is this, which will you pursue? Which course are you going to take? The Scripture said that a prudent man is going to look down the road, and if he sees evil up there, a wise man will avoid it, but a foolish one is going to keep on going. So we're faced with this in life all the time. Well, the evil's out there. What are you going to pursue? Are you willing to make course corrections? Will you make the adjustment when it's small? Or are you going to wait until it just takes a major change? I tell you, you're going to make a mistake if you wait. If you know something's going askew, you don't wait. Fix it. Work on it then. Don't wait. So we know that life is imperfect and we know that there are evil and good things in life. Number three, to avoid the consequences of evil, you must have foresight. Now that's what the Bible tells us. You have to have foresight. What's that mean? How do I make this application? We have to have recognition of our circumstances and choices. Some people go through life with the idea, like an ostrich with their head in the sand. They don't want to know. But you can't be like that. As you go through life, you have to recognize, you have to see what's going on, you have to see your circumstances. You can't just deny, deny, deny. You have to say, this is the way it is. And I see that. And it's absolutely necessary that you do. So then you have to recognize that something is going on, whether it's good or whether it's evil. And then you have to discern your condition and pathway. Okay, I see what's up there. Now, how does that affect me? Is that good? Is it bad? What's it going to do to me? What's it going to do to my family? What's it going to do to my church? How does it honor and glorify God? Or how does it bring dishonor to God? You have to make some discernment. And then you recognize, you discern, then you must have an evaluation of your conditions in life and then how to react to it. Okay, so I'm going through life. I see this thing down the road. And I see, oh, well, that's really not something that's going to work out too great. How's that going to affect you? Well, then you got to make a choice. Am I going to do it or not? Am I going to be foolish enough to keep on going even though I've been warned about it? And but go ahead and go anyway, or am I going to stop? So you have to make an evaluation and you have to react. Number four, I submit, to avoid the consequences of evil, you must choose the appropriate response. That is, you have to make course adjustments. You must. Does that make sense to you? It should. It should. Let me give you some biblical considerations because we're talking about course and life and living. Turn, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. As you go through life, you're going to have to make some judgments. You're going to have to make some discernments and take that recognition, you're going to have to discern, you're going to have to evaluate. You're going to have, truth is, you're going to have to know what's right and what's wrong. And I believe the biblical considerations that emanate from me for this message and application to the text. If we're going to be able to make that decision, we're going to have to understand what the right thing is. And I believe that obedience to God is the path that you should take. You should always choose to follow obedience. Now, we won't always do that, will we? We'll purposely choose wrong. And we pay for it too, don't we? But what you want, what you need to do, what you want to do and should do, especially if you're a child of God, is obedience to God, is the path that you should take. Now, what we have in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is Moses pronouncing to the children of Israel the course that they should take in their national life. And in verse 32, Deuteronomy 5, and in verse 32 he says, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." That's what God commanded the children of Israel. This is my will. Stick with it. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. Don't take an exit ramp. You stay right on here. That's obedience to God. Now, if you would happen to turn to Joshua, you don't need to do that. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. But while you're turning to Isaiah chapter 30, you know Joshua, when he had pronounced this to the children of Israel after at the end of his life, he's coming down to the end, he says basically the same thing that Moses said. You have God's commands. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. I mean, that's always been the indication and the encouragement and the exhortation. Here in Isaiah chapter 30, and I'm going to look at verse 21 as soon as I arrive there. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, this is what we read. And it talks about, well, you know, God's going to bring some judgment on them. They're going to go through some adversity. But then he says in verse 21, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." In other words, children of Israel hadn't made all the right decisions they should have. They certainly rebelled against God. They faced judgment as a result of it. He said, but you're going to hear a voice that says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And it's God's way. It's always God's way. A reference to this is 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And you can turn over there or I'll read it to you as soon as I arrive there. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. This is the way. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. This is the way. Here in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9, it says, "If you turn again unto the Lord..." Well, they had been judged because they had been disobedient. He says, "If you turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and He will not turn His face away from you if you return unto Him." And so it's a matter of don't turn to the right hand or the left, but if you do turn off to the right hand or left, you know what you need to do? Make a course adjustment. Get back on track. Come back to God. And He says, if you come back to God, God will come back to you. James tells us that in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. So if you're going down through life and you realize, oh, I've done made a bad choice here, I've gotten off course, I've went away from God, I need to make a course adjustment. Get back on track. And then I submit unto you Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. And in verse 3, what do we read here? Let me read it to you. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. "Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn to you, saith the Lord of hosts." So what you find is, if you get off track, good thing is you can come back. Get back on the course. Make a course correction. Do you know what Jesus said? "If you love me, keep my commandments." I submit unto you, if you think about your life and what you need to do, you want to make obedience to God your primary objective.
Amen.
What that is, and I ask you to turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. What this is then, it is the path of righteousness and righteous living. If anybody ever comes up to you and tells you, hey, this is God's way, but it's evil and it's corrupt, you can mark it down. They're lying to you. Because God's way is a way of righteousness. And in Psalm 27, and in verse 11, I'm going to ask you to look at three passages, two of them out of Psalms. And in Psalm 27, and in verse 11, I read, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies." You want to know God's way. And God's way is always righteous. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 35. the psalmist, and of course he talks in that whole chapter about the Word of God and His statutes, and oh, what a lovely thing it is. May we have that kind of desire. Verse 35, he says, "Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight." So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What should be the Christian's objective? I will obey God. I'm going to follow after God. I want to be obedient to Him. And it's always a path of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 4. Turn there, please. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 26. "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Course adjustment. Course adjustment. Now, you ever heard the proverb that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? You ever heard that? Yeah. Well, you know the Bible really bears that out. Let me read to you Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You didn't know there's a Bible verse that talked about that. Well, it doesn't say it in those kind of words. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. This is the premise for that. Hey, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, "If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." What's the wisdom? Have enough sense to go sharpen the axe. You know, and it's a whole lot easier if you do that. I've been so boneheaded all through my life, I just wait and wait and wait. I'll hit with a dull axe because I'm too lazy to go grind the thing. You know what? We do that in our lives. And that's just not good judgment because you have to work harder. And so really an ounce of prevention is really worth a pound of cure. So if you see the axe going dull, you have to sharpen the axe. And that way you'll be much better off. And a wise man will do that, won't they? Well, what's the practical application of all this? What's the application of our text and our title? Let me give this to you and then I have a brief conclusion. But I'm going to say some things in a few moments. I'm just going to challenge you. And we're going to bring it right down to home. Number one, when we think about this, what are the elements of staying on course? As a Christian, I think you want to stay on course. I think you really do. That's the Holy Spirit in you saying, yeah, you want to do right. But we're still imperfect, aren't we? But what's the elements of staying on course? Number one, you have to have a knowledge of the true course. I just touched on that a few points about obedience and God's Word and all that. Well, you have to have a knowledge of what's true or you'll never know. I mean, if you don't know what's right, you can be all over the place and think you're okay. You have to know the truth. So get in the Bible and read it and understand it and know what God wants for you. I would encourage you to do that. So you have to have a knowledge of a true course. Secondly, you have to know when things begin to err. You have to know when you start going off. And then, of course, if you want to stay on course, you have to make course corrections or proper adjustments. I've been in the machine shop for, 25 plus years. And I just inspect. I don't make parts, but I've seen those machinists out there. You know, and that machine start to err. Start to run off, the tool starts to wear down, the thing starts getting, you know, the diameter starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If they're not smart enough to understand that it's gone awry, if they don't stop it, you know what happened? That part's going to go out of tolerance and then it's waste. It's junk. It's no good. And I've written up a bunch of it as a quality control inspector. A good machinist will pay attention to his parts and know that this thing is starting to waver and I need to make an adjustment or replace the tool. Because if I don't, it's just going to keep on getting worse and worse and worse, and it's no good. You have to make proper course adjustments. And you know what the Bible told us in our text is that a wise man will do this. You want to be wise or foolish? Well, we want to have a knowledge of what the true thing is. If it starts to go off, we want to be able to fix it, make the adjustments. Number two, make small adjustments so you don't have to make the large ones. We hear about preventive medicine all the time. And isn't it really sad to hear when the doctor looks at him and says, "Well, if I'd only caught this sooner. If I only caught this. If we could have caught this last month, there might be some hope. But it's too late now." And you know, people hear it all the time. You know why? Because they never go to the doctor, they never get checked out, they really don't know. And they've done no preventive medicines. And so, they don't care about the small adjustments. They figure, well, I'll just cross that bridge when it gets there. And when they get there, that bridge is too large. It's too long, too wide. It can't be crossed. Now it's too big of an adjustment. That'll make application in just a moment. You just keep that in your mind. Number three, and what I want to do is I want to give you a few practical areas of life which is going to require constant course adjustment. Now, I know I'm speaking to the choir here. I'm sure none of this has ever been an affliction to you. None of it's ever been a temptation to you. You guys are absolutely pure in your life and will always be pure, but I'll tell you, I'm going to submit some things to you so you can help somebody else. Course adjustments in life. What about the desire and use of illicit and illegal drugs? Still rampant in our country. Ever since I've been a little kid, I've heard it. I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s. I was born, 1959. And, of course, I was just a little kid during the drug-free age and all that kind of stuff. You know, where there's freedom and all that, liberty, and they all started getting into drugs and everything through the 70s. You know what? I was in high school. They passed marijuana in the classroom. Was I ever tempted to do drugs? Not very often, because the truth is, as a youth, I knew that if I ever tried drugs one time, it would ruin my life, and it scared me silly. And I didn't want to ruin my life. And that, it's only by God's grace, before I was saved, God just put a fear in me. I never tried illicit or illegal drugs. Just never have done it. Don't ever intend to. And I'll tell you, some of you are thinking about that, or you've done it, or you're going to do it again. What you need to understand is, that's a wrong path. And it's a path to destruction, and you have to make a course adjustment. Secondly, are you tempted to imbibe an alcoholic? I told you I was going to be personal. Tempted to get a little drink going down there? Someone said that every drunkard began with just one drink, and I really believe that. I don't care how strong you think you are. So I can drink one and quit. Then I challenge you, quit. All right, if you can quit, do it. Because if you get into drinking, you know what it'll do? It'll ruin your life. I've seen it over and over. I've performed funeral services for people who drank themselves to death. Bleeding out their eyes, bleeding out their ears, bleeding out their face and nose and everything else. Drank themselves to death. I don't want to go that way, do you? Course adjustment. You say, well, I just drink a little bit, preacher. You better make an adjustment. Because if you don't make that minor adjustment now, you're going to have to make a big one later. Or it might be just too late. Got awful quiet in here, brother. Now let me get a little bit more meddling. I tell you, steal from the petty cash drawer at work, or fix the time card, you better make an adjustment. They'll catch you eventually. And you're going to lose your job. You start stealing a little here, you're going to steal a lot later. Don't do it. Make a course adjustment. You get flirting with that coworker, the neighbor, the friend. Oh, it's just innocent fun. Better be careful. Better start making some course corrections. Because if you don't, you might find out that there's going to be a big course correction later. So you better not do that. What about the dark side of the internet? Internet is good, but boy, there's a lot of evil on that thing. The chat rooms and the webcams and the wrong websites and the availability of pornography and all that kind of thing. I'm telling you, you better make course corrections. Any of us can be tempted. Any of us can do anything. But you better make some course corrections. Whether it's the web, or whether it's stealing, or whether it's flirting, or whether it's drugs, or any of us can make bad choices. But what I'm saying to you is, if you see the foolishness out there, you see the sin that's there, the wise man's going to see it and make a correction. He's not going to keep on going. I want to be wise, don't you?
Amen.
I tell you, sometimes warning signs will pop up that you have the wrong type of friends. This is especially for young people. You know those are the wrong friends. You better make some course corrections. But these are the only people that will talk with me at school. Now, you don't have that problem here in this Christian school. This is a great place. You go to a public school, you see how it is. You can be a wallflower, nobody will talk to you.
Yep.
And the only guy that will talk to you is somebody that's out there breaking into homes at night. They're in a gang. We see it all the time. Man, come to Memphis. And they do it to be accepted. And they ruin their lives. Got to make course corrections. Got to make course corrections. Don't you understand that every one of us are imperfect? Amen. We all go astray. That's why we got to start making corrections here and there. Get back on track. And I submit unto you that if you have evidence that your marriage is like a ship that's being crashed with huge waves and you're headed toward the rocks, you better start making some course corrections. You can't just deny it. You've got to work on it, or if not, it's just going to be too late. How's your marriage? Parents, you see your children drifting away, increasingly make poor choices. Got to make some course corrections. You're still the parent. You're still the parent. What about our physical health? Do we exercise right? Do we eat right? Get the right kind of rest and all that kind of thing that brings us good physical health? Got to make some course corrections. I know we don't like to hear it, but the truth is, if we don't make small corrections now, we're going to make some big ones later, or it's going to be too late. We have to make course correction. And then let's finish with a few spiritual reminders. Busyness of life squeezing out your prayers. No time to spend in the Bible. You got to start making some course corrections. You'll regret it if you don't. Any wee thing hinders you from church attendance? I've got to hang out, preacher. I just couldn't make it. Well, got to make some course correction. Failing to tithe and give your offerings? Got to make course corrections. Personal holiness of little concern to you? Got to make some course corrections. All your life you're going to need to make corrections. Do you get that? You get that? And I've just given you some very personal, down-to-earth things of life that we face every day. And you can be wise or you can be foolish. In conclusion then, I say to you, and I'll just enumerate these and I'll be done. Number one, we know that life requires continual course adjustment. It does. Don't deny that. Accept it. Embrace it. You have to keep making adjustments. Number two, it is best to make the small corrections instead of waiting for the major ones. That's just common sense. Fix it while it's little and it won't be so bad. Number three, the wise man will foresee and adjust. The foolish will not. Well, that's what the Bible is teaching us in our text. Number four, Christian, I encourage you, you have to rely upon Jesus Christ to make the adjustment. I realize John 15:5 says that without Him we can do nothing. And in my life, if I want to make adjustment, I always have to rely upon Jesus Christ. He has to guide me, because if it's up to me, I'm going to make a mess of it. I always do. But when I make a mess of it, I'm glad there's course adjustments that can be made to bring me back on path. And I finish by saying that, sinner, your greatest need, sinner, is to make the major change. You know why? You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're lost and undone. You need the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the biggest thing you need in your life. That's the biggest correction, is to have a right relationship with God. And that only comes by salvation through grace and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. Let me give you this. Back in the spring, we had an opportunity, me and my wife, to be chaperones of a senior trip for my son who graduated high school this year. And so we were chaperones, and during this course of event, we went to whitewater rafting. Sounds like a thrill. Man, you get my age, you don't want to do that. But we ended up going whitewater rafting. And I'd never gone rafting before, never been a guide before, and you know what they did? They chose me to be a guide. I didn't even know what that was. It scared me to death. I thought, I'm going to take these kids out there on the river, and if they die, I'm in trouble. But I soon learned that I was back there in the back of that raft, and I just halfway through it, I figured out I was the rudder. That's all I was. If they'd have told me that from the beginning, I'd have picked that up. But I found out I was the rudder. I also learned that small course adjustments were constantly needed all the way down that river. Little turns, little corrections, all the way down. And if I over-adjusted, you know what I had to do? I had to readjust. I don't know, a couple times we got backwards on the river and all kinds of stuff. We turned over a couple times. I even fell out of the boat. Well, didn't lose my glasses though. But it's constant course adjustment, isn't it? And so the Proverbs said this, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Which will you be? Which will you be? Brother Reynolds, it's yours.